This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. What is the window of tolerance, and how it determines your emotional control capacity in conflict? The nervous system concept, it explains why you lose composure under pressure. In short, the window of tolerance determines how much emotional pressure you can absorb before your capacity for clear thinking and self-regulation collapses. In conflict, it is not your intentions that fail you. It is your nervous system. Inside the window, you can listen, think, and respond with intention. Outside it, you shift into survival mode, reactive, shut down, or frozen. You can train yourself to expand this window, and that training is the real work of emotional control. Definition: the window of tolerance is the neurological zone of arousal within which a person can regulate their emotions, process information clearly, and respond with intention rather than instinct. Inside this window, conflict is manageable. Outside it, the brain's survival systems override reasoned thought. Picture this. You are in a meeting. Someone challenges your decision in front of the group. You feel it immediately, the heat in your chest, the tightening jaw, the sudden narrowing of your thinking. Within seconds, you've said something sharper than you intended, or you've gone completely silent. The moment is over before you could make a choice. That is not a character flaw. That is your window of tolerance being breached. The window of tolerance is a concept developed by psychiatrist Daniel Siegel, and it describes something I have observed in every difficult conversation I have been part of across 6 decades. It is the emotional and neurological zone where real communication is possible. Outside it, the brain's threat response takes over, and what you call conflict resolution is no longer happening. Survival is. How your nervous system draws the line between response and reaction. Your nervous system runs on a spectrum. At the top of that spectrum is hyperarousal, the fight or flight state, where your pulse climbs, your thinking narrows, and your words come out louder or faster than you planned. At the bottom is hypoarousal, the freeze or collapse state, where you go flat, detach, or simply stop engaging. Your window of tolerance sits between those two extremes. Inside the window, you have access to your full self. You can listen without preparing a counterattack. You can acknowledge the other person's position without losing grip on your own. You can feel the discomfort of conflict without being driven by it. This is where emotional control lies. The moment conflict pushes you beyond the upper edge of that window, you're no longer negotiating. You are defending. And when it pushes you below the lower edge, you have stopped engaging altogether. Understanding this distinction is not academic. It changes how you interpret your own behavior and the behavior of everyone in the room. If you've ever watched a team meeting descend into defensiveness or stony silence within minutes of a difficult topic being raised, you've seen the window of tolerance collapse in real time. For more on how this connects to the broader breakdown of team communication, signs your team's amygdala hijack problem is destroying synergy in real time covers what those warning signs look like on a group level. What emotional control actually requires. I want to name something that took me a long time to understand. Emotional control does not mean suppressing what you feel. It does not mean sitting still while your insides boil. It means maintaining enough nervous system regulation that you can choose how to respond, rather than simply reacting to what is happening. Two people can hear the same critical feedback in the same room. One person takes a breath and asks a clarifying question. The other fires back with a defensive remark. The difference is not intelligence or professionalism. The difference is window of tolerance. One person's nervous system remained regulated. The others did not. When you're inside your window, three things are available to you. First, you can hear what is actually being said rather than what your threat response tells you is being said. Second, you can access language that is clear and measured rather than language that escalates. Third, you can stay connected to your intention for the conversation rather than being hijacked by the emotion of the moment. These capacities are related to what emotional intelligence in feedback conversations looks like in practice: staying present, staying curious, staying direct without becoming destructive. What shrinks the window over time? Here is the truth of it. Your window of tolerance is not fixed. It changes based on what is happening in your life and in your nervous system. And certain conditions reliably make it smaller. Chronic workplace stress is one of the most common culprits. When you're always operating close to your upper limit, almost any friction can tip you over the edge. A colleague's offhand comment lands differently when you're running on 3 hours of sleep and a week of unresolved tension. Unprocessed past conflict is another. Every time a disagreement ends without genuine resolution, it leaves a residue. Your nervous system remembers the next time a similar conflict arises, you are not starting from neutral. You are starting from somewhere much closer to the boundary. The relationship between psychological safety and nervous system regulation is also direct. When people feel genuinely safe to speak without fear of humiliation or retaliation, the windows remain wider. When they do not, even minor friction triggers disproportionate responses. What is psychological safety and how it drives team synergy explores this foundation in depth. And it matters here, a team cannot regulate collectively if the environment itself signals threat. Three beliefs that undermine emotional control in conflict. After decades of getting this wrong myself, I have noticed three patterns that reliably make things worse. Each one is grounded in a false belief about what emotional control actually means. The mistake: believing that emotional control means never feeling strong emotion in conflict. Why it happens: we confuse visible calm with actual regulation. Feeling anger or fear during conflict is normal. The question is whether you remain inside your window while feeling it. What it costs you: when people aim for emotional numbness rather than regulation, they either suppress until they explode, or they detach so completely they stop engaging meaningfully. The mistake: treating a reaction as a personal failure rather than a nervous system event. Why it happens: most of us were taught that losing composure is a weakness, but dysregulation is a physiological response, not a moral one. What it costs you: shame about reactivity makes people less willing to prepare for conflict, which leaves them more vulnerable to it. The mistake: believing that willpower alone can keep you regulated in high-pressure conflict. Why it happens: we overestimate the reach of conscious intention when the nervous system is activated. What it costs you: you walk into a hard conversation confident you will stay measured, and then the first sharp word arrives and the window slams shut anyway. Preparation matters more than resolve. Understanding how the amygdala functions in these moments is essential context. The reactive brain does not wait for permission. What is the amygdala hijack, and how it silently blocks team synergy in high-pressure moments explains that mechanism directly. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling books they write every time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at imanblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Two moments where the window makes all the difference. Let me give you two situations I have seen unfold in very different ways, depending on where each person was sitting inside their window. A senior manager receives pushback from a colleague during a project review. The colleague's tone is clipped. The criticism is pointed. The manager, well-rested and having spent 5 minutes breathing slowly before the meeting, notices the irritation rise, but stays inside her window. She pauses. She asks what specific concern the colleague has. The conversation moves forward. Nothing about that exchange was easy, but it stayed productive because she stayed regulated. The same exchange, different day. The manager is stressed, running late, and carrying three unresolved tensions from the week. The same critique lands, and she is over the edge before she has finished hearing the sentence. Her response is sharp. The colleague shuts down. Two capable people, same conflict, different window. The outcome is entirely different. This is why how to de-escalate team conflict without destroying synergy must begin with nervous system awareness, not just communication scripts. If you cannot first recognize where you and others are sitting on the arousal spectrum, no script in the world will hold. How to widen the window before conflict arrives. The practical work of emotional control is not about what you do in the moment of conflict. It is about what you do before it. Here is what I know from practice, not theory. Slow breathing is the most direct route. Specifically, making your exhale longer than your inhale signals the nervous system to lower its alert level. 4 counts in, 6 counts out, repeated for 2 minutes before a difficult conversation. It sounds simple. It works. Physical grounding anchors you to the present. Pressing your feet flat on the floor, feeling the weight of your body in the chair, these are not relaxation exercises. They are neurological interrupts that pull your attention away from the threat signal and back into the body. They keep you inside the window when the pressure builds. Recovery matters as much as preparation. After a conflict, the window needs time to return to its resting width. Pushing immediately into the next difficult conversation before you have recovered is one of the most common reasons capable people struggle with sustained emotional control. Build in space. Treat recovery as preparation for what comes next. The emotional intelligence that makes these practices possible in team settings is explored further in The Role of Emotional Intelligence in Team Synergy, and How Psychological Safety Enables Honest Communication and Sustains Team Synergy shows how the environment either supports or undermines this regulation across a whole team. Frequently asked questions. What is the window of tolerance? The window of tolerance is the optimal zone of nervous system arousal where a person can think clearly, regulate their emotions, and respond rather than react. Inside this window, conflict becomes manageable. Outside it, the brain shifts into survival mode and emotional control breaks down. How does the window of tolerance affect emotional control in conflict? When conflict pushes you outside your window of tolerance, your capacity for clear thinking and self-regulation collapses. You either become reactive and combative, or you shut down and withdraw. Emotional control is only possible while you remain inside the window. What shrinks the window of tolerance under pressure? Chronic stress, unresolved past conflict, poor sleep, and repeated emotional flooding all shrink the window of tolerance over time. The narrower the window, the less provocation it takes to push you into a dysregulated state during disagreement or high-stakes conversation. Can you expand your window of tolerance? Yes, consistent practices such as slow diaphragmatic breathing, physical grounding, and deliberate recovery after conflict gradually widen the window. The nervous system is trainable. With repeated practice, you can stay regulated under conditions that previously sent you into fight, flight, or freeze. What does being outside your window of tolerance look like in a meeting? You might speak faster than you intend, feel heat in your chest or face, lose access to measured language, or go completely silent. Others may read it as aggression or disengagement. Both are signs the nervous system has taken over and emotional control has temporarily gone offline. How is the window of tolerance different from simply staying calm? Staying calm is often a surface performance. The window of tolerance describes your actual neurological capacity for regulation. You can appear calm while operating outside your window, gripping the table beneath it. True regulation means your nervous system is genuinely settled, not just suppressed. This much I know for certain: you cannot think your way through a conflict that your nervous system has already decided is a threat. The window of tolerance is not a metaphor. It is the real boundary between the version of you that can resolve a dispute and the version that can only survive it. Train the window. Expand it steadily, the way a tree deepens its roots before a storm. When the conflict arrives, and it will, you want to be standing on ground that holds. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.